And as you would have seen and heard, the future of asylum seekers on Manus Island has been making headlines this week. The PNG court ruled last year that the Australian-run centre is unconstitutional, but hundreds of detainees are refusing to be moved right now. It's just really the latest instalment in the fraught politics of asylum seekers in Australia. Here in Life Matters, though, we're going to focus on a personal rather than the political and hear of one man's story. 8 years ago today, Parapahir, who's a Tamil from Sri Lanka, was rescued from the Indian Ocean after the boat he was in sank. Now, while he was in detention on Christmas Island, he formed a pen pal friendship with Alison Cork. Alison lives in Apollo Bay. That's a small town on the Victorian coastline, some 5,000 k's away from Christmas Island. Together, they've now written a book called The Power of Good People. Ali, back in 2010, when Para was on Christmas Island, you started writing to him. Why? What prompted that?
Well, I belong to a fabulous organisation called Rural Australians for Refugees. And round about that time, they sent a letter out to all the members saying that there are people in detention in Christmas Island who would love to improve their English. I'm an English as a second language teacher, and I thought, well, this would be very easy. I could write to somebody and just help them, that they could reply and I could correct, and it would just be a very straightforward pen friendship. So Para and I were just by chance paired together, and I wrote to him and instantly had a reply. The letters originally were very formal.
Para, do you remember that very first letter you got from Ali?
Yeah, of course, because I got her details and I wrote to her. I called her first letter called Madam. But later on, it became Mum. So it's
Madam to Mum.
Madam to Mum. Mm-hmm. So it is a good opportunity having us, and they do everything for me and they'll bring my wife and son to Australia.
Well, we'll get on to that in a minute. But Ali, what do you recall of the first letter you got back from Para?
Oh, it was a dear madam, a very formal letter. But very soon we got over that and became just good pen friends. Para is the same age as my daughters, and so I could relate very well to the issues that affected him beyond being in detention and in asylum, as an asylum seeker. So we quickly came on to just talk about family matters and his hopes and aspirations, and his two overriding issues were his concern for his wife and son, who he had to leave behind in India, and what was your other overriding issue? his determination to find and thank the captain of the ship that rescued him from the ocean. And those two things, every letter seemed to touch on them.
Those two things, yeah. Well, Para, you were in detention after your boat sank in the Indian Ocean and you were rescued. Just tell us a bit about being rescued. How long were you in the ocean before the rescue?
Yeah, at about 6:30 p.m. in Western Australia time, the boat sank from Cocos Island from 350 nautical miles. So at the evening, I called to Australian authority to get any support to rescue us. And they said the boat was in the middle of the Indian Ocean, so we could find any other ship crew traveling that way. So before the boat sank, before the rescue boat arrived the scene, our boat sank into the ocean. So
how long were you in the ocean for?
I was in the ocean nearly 11 hours. So I didn't know how to swim, but luckily I survived. After 11 hours, I was rescued by the massive ship tanker. But sadly, we lost 12 people on the incident.
And what do you remember as after 11 hours in the ocean, when you first saw the gas tanker that was going to rescue you?
Oh, it is a great experience. I saw the people. They just give all the necessary things. They just did the medical checkup. They just check us. They did all. They provide the food and everything. But I thank God that day. And as soon as I got from the boat, I asked them, "What's the day today?" They said it is 2nd of November because we spent over 30 days in the water. Oh, I thought it was my birthday. So And
you were rescued on your birthday.
On my birthday. So,
which is today.
Which is today. Yeah. It's a, yeah.
Well, Para, Ali mentioned that, you know, when you were corresponding to each other, you were interested in reconnecting with the captain and crew of that boat that rescued you. And you actually have done that. You two have been to Croatia. What was that reunion like, Para, seeing them for the first time since your rescue?
Oh, it is very, very emotional seeing the captain and the crews who rescue us from the water, include me, 27 others been rescued. And Alison was the one who made this one to possible, because she kept following the people, where which ship company, where are they located, everything she found out. And she wrote to the managing director in UK, and she organized this meeting, and it was very emotional. And I need to thank the Alison and her family and everyone who made it possible.
Well, I have an email here from the captain who says that he recognised you immediately, Para, and he says, in that moment I was, this is the captain, in that moment I was happy and also proud that I helped one young human being to start a new life. Alison, you were there with Para. What was it like to witness that reunion?
It was magical, Amanda, because the organisation, it's the Mitsui Osaki Lines, the big MOL group. Firstly, we went to London and met the managing director of MOL, who was just fabulous, and he introduced us to the other people behind the scenes who'd helped organise the rescue, the insurers, the lawyers, the media consultants. And once everything was underway in London, Andy Hill is the name of the man, he then flew out to Christmas Island to support the captain, because although 26 were saved, 13 people drowned. And the ship's company were very upset and affected by that. They're just a wonderful organisation. And so then Andy Hill helped organise for us to go to Croatia when Para actually spoke at the MOL Group's annual seminar, which was fabulous, and he spoke very well. And during that time, of course, we met Captain Vizika, who's an enormous man with an enormous heart. And he instantly recognised Para and picked you up and was thrilled. And then also were four other crew members who happened to be on the ship at the time of the rescue. And they also recognised Para, because Para was the spokesperson for the group, being the only one that spoke English. It was fabulous. And to see how proud they were that they'd done such a great deed. But at the same time, it was tinged with sadness. And that was the nice thing. Their humanity and their compassion was beyond comparison.
Amanda Smith with you, and here in Life Matters, joined by Alison Cork and Para Pahir. While Para was in immigration detention on Christmas Island, Alison started writing to him as a voluntary supporter. Since then, Para has been granted refugee status, and earlier this year he became an Australian citizen, and together Para and Ali have written The Power of Good People. Ali, how did it come about that Para moved from detention to come and live with you and your family?
Well, it was very fortuitous, Amanda. I was in Apollo Bay listening to the radio, and I think it was on a Life Matters programme. I heard the then Immigration Minister, Chris Bowen, say that if refugees and asylum, or refugees living in detention had a place in the community they could go to, then they could go and live in the community. But of course, very few of them had any contacts. But I thought, oh, Para has a contact. So I phoned his case manager. And within a few weeks, Para was with us in Apollo Bay, which was great.
Mm. Mm. Well, Para, as we've said, today is the 8th anniversary of you being rescued from the Indian Ocean. It's also your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And as well, you've got more to celebrate, because your wife and your son were granted a visa 2 months ago now to come and live with you here in Australia. So how's it to be together again? I mean, for a start, you have a son who you hadn't seen. He's now 10, so you don't know him very well.
Yeah, of course. And it is very great pleasure for me to having my wife and son with me after many, many years being enforced separated from me. And it is very hard for me. I I didn't have much chance to take him, even to take him to school, and I didn't do anything as a dad. And 2 days before he started school at Geelong, and I took him to school. I did the school shopping with Alison and my wife along with us, and I am so proud of as a dad. And it is very, very happiest moment. But Alison and her family, the other people, made it happen.
And what does your 10-year-old son make of his new country?
Oh, he's exciting. And he said, oh, it is fabulous country. And he loves school. He just been in school 3 days. It's totally different from our country, how the way they are teaching, the teachers and the school system. But here he enjoys. He wake up 7 o'clock, even the school, 8:30. But he said, oh, I need to go to school. I am ready. And he really enjoy, even my wife as well. So just 1 month, but they love the country because we are safe.
And you're together.
Yep.
Well, Para, you're a Tamil. Yeah. You are also active in student politics in Sri Lanka, which I think made you a target. How bad was it for you in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, it is hard for me. I cannot return to my home country because I was targeted, I was imprisoned, I was tortured, I was detained, and my wife as well. So we got the trouble from the Sri Lankan government. That's the reason I left the country. I fled the country to India, and I had made a decision to come to seek asylum. So here. And
why did you feel it was necessary once you got to India? What you took this boat attempting to come to Australia. Why did you feel it was necessary to get on that boat?
Yeah, because in 2009, after the end of the war, and Indian government believes many Sri Lankan Tamil Tigers, they are the Tamil Tigers, they arrived to Indian shore, and they started to searching the people, Sri Lankan Tamils, and we heard many news. They handed over back to Sri Lankan authorities some people, and who are very involved with the LTT, or sometimes they were the LTT members, sometimes they lead many protests against the government. They are the student activities as well. So I had to make a decision. I don't want to go back to Sri Lanka. I don't want it to be handed over to Sri Lankan authority. I know what is going to happen to me. Had to make a decision. I was asking my wife what to do. She said, just you need to find a place, be safe first. That's an important thing. Then we will decide what to do. That's the decision I had to make. It is hard, but I had to make a decision that time.
Mm. Well, Ali, I mentioned that earlier this year, on Australia Day this year, Para became an Australian citizen. A few years ago, I went to an Australian citizenship ceremony for the first time, and I have to admit that I was a little bit cynical about going at first. It was a friend who was becoming a citizen. But, you know, you get a little plastic Australian flag to wave, and, you know, the local primary school sings, "We are one, but we are many," and there are meat pies and lamingtons served afterwards. So I don't know. I was a little bit not sure about it. But actually, the whole thing was so moving. I felt so moved by it because it was clearly so significant for all these people from all over the world becoming an Australian citizen. How did you feel about seeing Para get his citizenship?
Well, very much the same, Amanda. It was wonderful to see Para finally shake the hand of the mayor and be given his certificate. But at the same time, it was an enormously sad occasion, thinking of so many people who would just give their whole lives, or who have given their whole lives, to try to come here to seek similar sort of safety. And particularly today, thinking about those poor souls on Manus Island. Para and I were talking about this on the train on the way up. Those people, that's another 606 people just like Para, with just hopes, aspirations and yearnings for freedom. They're in that tricky situation largely because they spoke out about an oppressive regime. And they tried to come here, and there's no reason we can't welcome them. So delight at Para's safety was tinged with a huge, overwhelming fear. Well, that's one safe, but there's many more who can easily be made safe, but for some reason the government chooses not to.
So, Ali, how has your life been shaped by your friendship with Para?
Oh, it's wonderful. But Para, as I say, is the same age as my daughters. They all get on extremely well. I have five grandchildren. Para has Abby, so that makes a sixth. It's just fun. And to see Para's determination to continue to help people is also excellent.
In what way, Para? So, you know, what are your plans?
Yeah, I am, because nearly Isarlang and end of the war, I lost nearly 12 relatives, my cousin and the family, whole entire family being killed by the Sarlangan government. Altogether, 60,000 innocent Tamils being killed at the end of the day. And I still looking after my cousin's family. The children don't have a father and mother. They are in open age. And I still need to help them. And not like my relatives, like other people. 80,000 widows, Tamils widows, lives in northern Sri Lanka. So they don't have nothing. The government doesn't provide anything. So we can't make any big change. But whatever profit to get from this book, honestly, that goes to that those family. So still be caring about the people, but whatever ability we can.
And Para Pahia and Alison Cork have together written this book, The Power of Good People. Para and Alison, it's nice to meet you here in Life Matters. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Amanda.